Matthew chapter 11. We're going to finish off chapter 11. We're talking about the red letters, right? What are the words of Christ? If your Bible has the red letters, now when the Bible was written, there was no red letters. That was all added in a little bit later. But in here was given this point that we would know the words of Christ. And so we live in a day and age where so many things are being buzzed about. And people say, you know, I know Lord, I love Jesus, but don't really know what he has said. And we've looked at some of the passages this morning and seen how really the words of Christ are striking and challenging in our lives. So in Matthew chapter 11, like I said, we're going to finish this off. I'm going to make a plug here because we have all the people online. I know a lot of people are watching in after the fact. And if this has been a blessing to you, if you want to give in Facebook down the bottom, there is a give link. And if you want to help support the ministry here, just put that out there. But Matthew chapter 11, we have this idea in here. Jesus has been sort of battling, right? We talk about the idea of what a successful ministry is. We talk about that successful ministry, we ought to look at numbers and buildings and projects, and we look at all those things and say, hey, that's a successful ministry. And Jesus kind of blew that up because he wasn't interested in the crowd. He was looking for people's lives to be changed. Right? Are we taking God's word and applying it to our lives? And it should have an effect on us as we live and serve him. To quote an old Bob Dylan song, we said, we all serve something, right? We all serve somebody. And then we see this, what's going on today, I believe, is really at the core of it is a spiritual war that's taking place for the hearts and souls of the people. Are we going to follow God? Or are we going to follow this world? And Christians, we need to take a stand. You know, and it's funny because we say this, and I'm not talking about in a political sense. Sometimes that does follow through, right? I vote according to my beliefs, and I think we need to be diligent in that. But truly live what we believe, and I need to believe what the Bible says. We need to look at this and say, Lord, I'm going to serve you. In Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul wrote this, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey? You are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness. Who are we going to serve? And I think that distinction is probably more clear today than we've ever had before. We see the way this country is going, and it's like, whoa, and it's going that way fast. And I can't go there. I can't call the things that are wrong and call them right. I can't do that. And in here, I would rather serve God than serve the world. And we're really coming to that point where there is not a whole lot of middle ground. I know I've been saying that a lot lately, but it is so true. And Jesus sort of wraps up this chapter here, and he starts talking about the contrast between sort of the religious leaders and all that, and then his disciples. And the religious leaders looked at Jesus' disciples and said, oh man, you guys are like just a bunch of backwoods hicks. You know, you're not educated enough. You're not smart enough. You just don't see things right. Who are you guys? And so I think sometimes as Christians, we're kind of pegged as we're kind of the out of step ones. What's wrong with you? Don't you know this is the year, you know, 2022? Right? This is a modern age. Things have changed. You're just stuck in the past. I've had a lot of people tell me over the years, you know, if the church just changes its message, then people will come. And I'm sorry, but I'm just going to stand on the Bible. And what it says is true. And so Matthew chapter 11, Jesus starts addressing this. He says, and at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. That's interesting because as Jesus is preaching and teaching, the educated, those who thought they were all of that, look at Jesus and they're like, no, this isn't lining up with what we believe. Who are you to tell us what is right and wrong? And Jesus says, look, I'm thankful you have hidden this knowledge from them. Now that God doesn't want them to have that knowledge, if they were willing to accept it, to humble themselves, then gladly that he would give them that knowledge. It's not a matter of, it's not an exclusive group. But what God wants us to do is to believe him and what he says. And there's a worldly wisdom that's about here. And we see this all around us. 1 Corinthians tells us this, is that no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he who catches the wise in his own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Right? As we turn around and look at this world of what all these smart people are saying, it's crazy. Right? As we watched a documentary about what is a woman, it's interesting because in here they went around to some of these college professors and all these movements and asked that simple question, what is a woman? And in their own intellect, they tie themselves up in intellectual knots, trying to come to a conclusion that they want to come to. And it's crazy, right? I don't know if I want to show our hands. You don't have to show our hands. But how many of you guys have watched the news and listened to what's being said? I don't care what party it is. I don't care what channel it is. How many of you guys have watched something saying, this is nuts? Has anyone said that? This is crazy. This is crazy. But this is the worldly wisdom, and you're just not smart enough, right? That's what we're told. Right? I believe the Lord is going to come back, and I think it's going to be soon, because I don't know how far God's going to let this world go. You know, especially of those of us with children. And the garbage they're pushing on these kids is just wrong. It's wrong. And it's harmful. All in the sake of the agendas that's out there. But they're told they're the smart ones. Right? They're the wise ones. We just don't understand because we're just simple people. And I am simple. I just believe the Bible. And there is a wisdom of this world that we just don't understand. And even within religious circles, 2 Timothy tells us this, having the form of godliness, but denying its power. From such people, what? Turn away. Right? There's people who shroud themselves in godly talk. But their lives aren't transformed by the word of God. They don't believe the word of God. Let me see what the Bible says about this. And they shroud themselves with fancy talk. The Bible says, turn away from them. For of this sort are those who creep in the households and take captive gullible women, loaded down with sin, led away by various lusts, and always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We need to realize the Bible talks about there's a godly wisdom. And it's not wrapped up in PhDs and knowledge in colleges, but there's a godly wisdom that God gives us through his Spirit. And the Bible's really clear. The first place to start is there's a God. You know, I shared in Sunday school that the latest Gallup poll came out talking about, as Americans, where we are. And within the last, I think it's 5 years, we've gone from 86% of Americans believing in God, and that's just God, that's not Christians, that's just believing any God, down to 81% who believe in God. That in here, talk about our young people today. And I couldn't find where they define young, I'm guessing under college age, falls down to 68% of kids do not believe in God. And that's why it's so important in Sunday school and junior church, we're going to have our vacation Bible school, that we need to teach our children of God. Because that is the beginning point. Proverbs tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. We need to start from the premise that there is a God, and then everything else falls into place underneath that. What does God want? What has God said? And as we pursue our lives with a God-centered life, everything else starts falling into place. It starts making sense because He is our Creator. You know, as a guy, one of the last things I like to pick up is the instructions. Right? Because usually I'm like, I got this. And I'm kind of a nerdy guy. I like putting stuff together. So growing up, I've always been this way. I've always been a little odd. But growing up, I was the kid who liked to put all the toys together, right? It says some assembly required. And so all the siblings would say, "Hey, John, will you put this together?" And that was my greatest Christmas gift, was putting together everyone else's toys. And one year, my brother got a Hot Wheels garage. You know, and he had a little garage you'd drive into, and you crank the thing, and it'd go up, and then drive down the little thing. But it comes in a million pieces. And so I thought I was going to be smart, and I took it and put it together, and I was like, well, I'm going to put it together so it wouldn't fall apart. So I used super glue to put the pieces. You guys know where this is going, right? So I was going to put it together, but I figured I'd put it with super glue. And so I put it all together. It looked great, wonderful. Put the car in there, and you're supposed to crank it up, and the cranky thing didn't make it go up. Yeah, the cranky thing, that was a technical term. And I was like, oh man, what's... Well, lo and behold, in the bottom of the box, there was this little spring that was supposed to go in. So out of desperation, I pulled out the instructions after the fact. Come to find out, step 3 out of 40 steps was put the spring into the part. Step 3... I put together with super glue. I had to break it to put the part in and then glue it all back together. It did work after that. My brother didn't trust me to put anything together again after that. But if I just looked at the instructions, I would put things in order and things would have been right. Folks, the Word of God is that way. As I look at Him and what His Word says, and I take it and apply it to my life will come into order according to the owner's manual. And this is our owner's manual. And we live in a world that wants to say there is no God. And still try to put life together. You know, I'm so thankful throughout all of COVID for my faith that I knew that there was a God that was in control. Right? I'm glad in the trials of my life that I know there's a God I can trust. I'm glad that God is a central part of my life, that He helps me in all of these things. And that's where wisdom begins. Look at Matthew chapter 11, start saying again. Verse 27, it says, "All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one whom the Son wills to reveal Him." What He is saying here is, look, if I want a relationship with God, there's only one way. And that's through Jesus Christ. I have a lady who's a friend of mine on Facebook. And she posted this beautiful mountain and this wonderful scene. And on it said that there's so many different paths to God. And we all just need to find our own path to God. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says there's one mediator between God and man. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. It's through Jesus. And Jesus has come to reveal the Father to us. That's what he's saying here. Jesus is the way. He is the cure for what this world needs. And to follow him. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus asks his disciples, who do men say that I am? And people all have these different opinions about who Jesus was. And Peter comes out and pipes up and says, Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. That we are drawn to him by God, all through Jesus Christ. And Jesus doesn't want to be a part of your life. He wants to be your life. And I was at a pastor's fellowship that just started in this area. And they all asked us to give our testimonies. And I shared my testimony. And I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up going to church. Like I said, I was a nerdy kid. I was the one who raised his hand in Sunday school. I was one who liked to go to church and do the sword drills and memorize the verses. So I was just a really nerdy kid. Don't tell my daughter. I like to tell her I was the cool kid. I don't think she believes it, but I was kind of that nerdy kid. And I went down to Liberty University, which is a Christian college, and I was going to be a science teacher. That was my major, biology education. I was going to be a science teacher, and I figured I'll go turn around and teach at a Christian school. And I spent most of my life taking God and adding him onto my life. Right? And so I was like, God, you're pleased with me because, God, you know, I'm taking you on. And after a year of college, my life just kind of fell apart, and I became angry and upset, and I was running from God, and God got a hold of my life. And basically what he told me was, God doesn't want to be a part of my life. He wants to be my life. And ever since then, I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm yours. Right? God, you're not an accessory that I take on and off, that I wear when it's convenient. And God says, I want to be your life. And I want to serve you and worship you. And I want to please you. That becomes the center of it all. And if the Lord has prodded your heart, that means he's drawing you to himself. It's not a matter of intellectual, right? In our lives, you're not God's because you're smart enough. But he has drawn you to himself. Now, God doesn't want us to check our brains out at the door. He says, come, let us reason together. But folks, as Christians, our life needs to start and end with him. And Matthew starts talking about this wisdom. He goes, look, I'm glad that, you know, the wise people of this world, you haven't revealed this, but you revealed yourself to simple people. And I'm a simple person. And I'm thankful he has. That his word is truth. And then at the end of the chapter here, in verses 27, he changes gears. He says, come to me, all who labor are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He talks this idea of a yoke. You guys are familiar with animals. The yoke is the thing that goes around their neck. They use the haul. Sometimes you see the double yoke. But this is the burden that we bear. Actually, at this point in time, often the rabbis they're teaching for often it's called their yoke. It was the discipline that they were called to follow. And Jesus says, my yoke is what? It's easy. Take my yoke upon you, he says, and learn of him. That God wants us to learn about him. Our pursuit is to know more and more about Jesus. And as I do this, give him more of my life and let him work in me as he wills. And one of the things he talks about, this yoke, and we talk about following Christianity, that in here he gives us rest. There is rest as we follow Jesus. He is our rest. Isaiah tells us this. It says, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Now listen, I'm not saying that following Jesus is easy. It's not. Especially if we live in a world that's hostile to those things. Right? Some of you, because of your stance you've taken, have been ostracized by your family. Sometimes with your stance have been kicked out of, you know, Facebook or whatever, all these things, right? We have these pressures that's going on in the world today. Can I tell you something? There is a peace that comes in following God. The Bible says a peace that passes understanding. Right? I'm at the point now where, you know, I started looking back at my life. I've passed the halfway point. You know, I've gotten to the point where I probably got more years behind me than in front of me. So I've reached the top of the hill, and now I'm starting to slide down. But I look back at my life, and life has not been easy. But I'm so thankful that I know that I've been in His hands. I'm so thankful. Even now, we go through all this COVID craziness, and I'm so thankful for my faith that, God, you are in control, and you are faithful, and you'll see me through it. And my heart bleeds for those who do not know Jesus, because they got to carry this all by themselves. The Bible says I can take all my cares and cast it upon Him, for He cares for me. What a blessing that is. And I hope you have that peace as well. That I can have rest for my soul in the midst of all this world that's going on. As I wait upon the Lord, as I wait for Him to do His thing, as I trust in Him in His time, I just hang on to Him and cling to Him, and I can have rest. I can have peace in this craziness. You know, every time I think of this passage, I think of, have you ever gone driving and hit a snowstorm with kids in the car? I don't know if you've ever done that. And it's funny because, you know, I'm driving and you know, my wife can tell when things get a little tense because I get really quiet and you're just kind of focusing on the road. Right? And there's a point, you know, especially with couples, you know, where, you know, the spouse who isn't driving tries to help you drive. Right? Watch out for this. So you kind of get that kind of dialogue going on. And then, but there's a point where, you know, things are a little slick and you hit one of those spots where the car kind of goes, does one of those things. And the other spouse just gets really quiet because they know, okay, just focus. Right? So you're kind of like this. You're going through the dangers of life. And then your kid pops up. Daddy, daddy, what about this? And daddy, can I be done? Right? And they have no clue of the dangers that's all around. And kids are so different. My oldest one got in the car, she would be out like a light. She loved sleeping in the car. She just, right? She said it was magical. She got a little older. She was magical. She goes, I'd get in the car, fall asleep, and wake up there. She goes, it was wonderful. My youngest one's totally different. She'd get in the car. I think one of her first words was, I'm stuck. She, you know, she's in the car. She's like, I'm stuck. I'm stuck. We turn around. She was fighting on the car seat. She said, I didn't like it. So she doesn't sleep for nothing. We're like, sleep back there. You know, but she's like, dad, 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 dad. And my wife's like, quiet, quiet, you know. But she's clueless of the dangers around her. Christian, there is a simplicity to our faith where, Lord, I know that you're in control. And we're kind of like in the back seat, and sometimes we're worried about all these other stuff. Right? And Jesus has the wheel. There's an old song, right? But Jesus, He's in control. And I can have perfect peace in knowing that He's driving. He knows what He's doing. And I have to remind myself of that. You know, every once in a while I was like, okay, God, do you see this? You know? And God says, trust me. And He gives us rest for our souls. The yoke of Christ is also gentle. He's gentle with us. Now, I grew up in some pretty hardcore churches. And there's a lot of rules and regulations. And for a long time in my life, I thought God was up in heaven just waiting for me to mess up, and he's just waiting to smack me. You ever felt that way? Just waiting for you to mess up. I see some heads shaking. That's a blessing, because if you grow up under that impression, that you feel that, like, oh no, I'm going to let God down. And look at Hebrews tells us, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That somewhere in my Christian life, I realized that God loves me and wants me to come to him. That God knows what you're going through, and he knows what you're thinking. He knows your struggle. And I've realized a long time ago that, you know what, if I'm thinking it, I might as well tell God. I think sometimes people are afraid, you know, if I really tell God that I'm afraid, if I really tell God what I think, that he's going to think less of me. Well, let me tell you something, he already knows. If you're overwhelmed, tell him, right? And once again, go back to the illustration with kids, right? How many times have you seen your kid go through something and you just wish they would tell you? Just tell me, what's going on? Now think about in God's shoes. He's our Heavenly Father who loves us and cares for us, and yet we keep these things from him. But he knows. And he pours out his grace on us. Notice what he says here. Let us come boldly before his throne of grace that we may what? Obtain what? Mercy. We serve a God who paid for all of our sins. We serve a God who says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Now, I know in my life, I do things that he's not happy with. But he forgives me. That he's the Father who welcomes us home. Who restores us. God is not waiting to clobber you over the head. He's a God who weeps. How do we know all these things? We have Jesus who comes and reveals the Father to us. We have a God who understands and knows. And he says, come. Come. Lastly, we have the yoke of Christ. Not only does it give us rest, not only is he gentle, but it is light. He comes, learn of me. His burden is light. Christianity is not hard. You know, sometimes we want to take and make it complicated. Like, say, I grew up in churches where there was a lot of rules and regulations of what you can wear or what you couldn't wear and how long your hair was, right? That was one of the big things. Right? How long, you know? And I was a rebel because my hair, when I was a teenager, touched my hair. And the pastor's wife would get after me. You know? You know what? I don't think God cared. And in here, there's a simplicity to the Christian life. Now, listen, the Bible, as I read it, it does tell me that he wants me to do, and there's things that he doesn't want me to do. There's that process of living it out. But he is gracious with me, and he's gentle with me, and changing me. But Matthew tells us that Jesus was contrasting himself to the religious leaders. And this is what he's talking about, the religious leaders. He says, for they bind heavy burdens hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves would not be moved them with one of their fingers. In here, the laws and the regulations were so heavy. Years ago, we knew a young lady who got saved and gave her life to the Lord. She was so excited, and she came to church. And after a while, we didn't see her for a little bit. And so my wife and I stopped over. My wife was friends with her, and we stopped in and said, hey, how you doing? And she's just like, I can't do this anymore. I'm like, do what? And she goes that someone in the church had pulled her aside and gave her a list of stores that she was supposed to boycott and things she wasn't supposed to buy. So she had this long list of like 100 different items that she wasn't supposed to buy because there weren't Christian organizations and stuff. And she goes, I don't know what to buy anymore. I don't know where to go. She goes, and then, you know, this family was just telling her all these things that she couldn't and shouldn't do. And she goes, I just can't do this anymore. I'm breaking. And so she just pulled back from the whole thing. Folks, that's not of God. That's not of God. God works on us and changes us bit by bit. He knows our frame. He knows what we can handle. He's not going to give us more than we can handle without his strength. And he sustains us and he keeps us. It shouldn't be burdensome. It's interesting that the Pharisees of Jesus' day had 613 different rules and regulations of what was work and what wasn't work and how much you could lift and how far you could go. And it just went on and on and on and on. And they were trying to keep all these things right. Can I tell you, if Jesus was asked what was the greatest commandment, he brought the whole thing down to this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength. And the second is to the first, love your neighbor as yourself. The core of Christianity is that I love Jesus and I love others. And how I play that out in my life, right? Those are things that God's going to reveal to me. And as I follow my convictions and I do, as I take God's word and apply it to my life, but it's not a burdensome, horrible thing. Now, maybe you grew up in church. You know, I've talked with people who grew up, and I have siblings who grew up in church. And they're like, you know, I've had enough church to last me a lifetime. That's not what church is supposed to be about. It's about relationship with the Lord. And everything has to stem from that. 1 John tells us this, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not, what? Burdensome. Hey, Christianity shouldn't be a drudge. It should be a joy by our relationship that I have with him. As I love him, I serve him, and he changes my heart in what I do. I remember, you know, before I was a pastor, I was working at the mill, and they're all talking about, what are you going to do this weekend? And I said, oh, I'm going to go to church. And, you know, they're like, wait a minute, it's your week off. You know, a week is the time to party. Why are you going to church? He goes, man, is your wife making you do that? I was like, no, I want to go to church. I look forward to the church. Well, why? What? What's wrong with you? Wouldn't you be rather out? No. Why? Because I love God and I love people. I want to do what he wants me to do. It's not burdensome. Right? And, you know, I think of you parents who are raising your children, that somewhere, you know, there is that point where you're going because I tell you to. Right? I always joke around, there's a reason why God gives you your kids when they're little, because you can say, yes, you will, and you can make them. Right? But somewhere along the line, they have to learn that this is about a relationship that they have with God. And they have to make it their own. We got to teach our children to love Jesus and love people. And everything else will start falling into line. See, Christ has fulfilled the law. Right? Now all the things in the Old Testament, you know, all those things haven't gone away. But what happens is I can't meet them. And his grace fills in the gap. Right? What happens if I fail? What if I let him down? He loves me. And he restores me. And he picks me up and says, let's try again. There's an old song that says, there's joy, joy, joy in serving Jesus. And I hope that's your case. Hopefully you're here this morning because you love the Lord or you want to learn from him. Or maybe you're seeking him. Right? You know, hopefully someone didn't drag you here. Hopefully you want to be. As I serve him, I can't think of anywhere else I'd rather be. Of reading his word and following him. Because I love him. And folks, we see this in our relationships. You know? Because we love our spouses, we do things that we normally probably wouldn't do. But why? Because we love them. Our kids. Right? You know, someone started off and said, oh, you gotta get this kid that's not gonna let you sleep, that's gonna puke on you, gonna change your diapers. Oh yeah, it's gonna be lots of fun. Yeah, sign me up. You know, it's interesting as new parents. It was funny how the things that, you know, I always kind of joke as life progresses. First you start off single and you have single friends. You know, then you get married. And eventually what happens is your single friends start going away because you start talking about married things and doing all that. And then you have what I call single married couples, right? There are couples that don't have kids. You have kids and they don't. Right? But you've been around a bunch of young parents and they start talking about diapers and they start talking about, right? And all the ones that don't have kids are like, you know, they start drifting off and all of a sudden you start being attracted to other people who are in the same thing, right? Well, wait a minute. What's happened? Because your heart's affections have changed. Right? You're in a different place now. Your affections have changed along the way. I remember when I was newly married, you know, my wife, she had to train me a lot. And she kept reminding me, you know, I think like a married man. And I remember the first time we were hanging out with all my single guy friends, and I was newly married, and they're like, oh, let's do this. And I was like, yeah, let's do this. And my wife's like, oh, no. So I had to go back to my friends and say, you know what? My wife doesn't want me to. And like, oh, the old ball and chain. Oh, yeah, right? Oh, she's got you whipped and all that. And so, you know, first I was kind of like, I'm not whipped. No woman's going to tell me what to do. You know? That didn't go well for my marriage at first. Then along the way, you know, I say, hey, let's all, you know, let me check with my wife first. Oh, the old ball and chain. No, it's not. You know, because I love her and respect her. And that change happens in your life. Right? And our relationship with God is often that way. He transforms us and changes us slowly by his grace. And it's not burdensome. He is worthy of my service. He is worthy of my praise. He's worthy to be followed. Lord, I love you, and I want to follow you. And I'll take your yoke upon me. I don't care what the wisdom of this world says. Right? They can have all that. Just give me Jesus, because he's worthy. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, help it penetrate our hearts, Lord, to fall in love with you. Lord, following you shouldn't be a burden. It's a joy. It's a privilege to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who loves me more than anyone else. Lord, help me to love you back. Lord, you are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be loved. Lord, give me the heart for it, Lord. We ask this in your name. Amen. Why don't we go ahead.